Hello and welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert, and I have Joe Green with me, the pastor from Second Baptist Church in South Hadley. And we have been doing a series based on the sermon series that Joe did at Second Baptist Church over the summer, a series on the Holy Spirit and his work in our life. And we've been going at this for now 3 months or so. And we come to the last episode, which really this one we're going to talk about the Spirit. He ushers in life and restoration for eternity. But maybe you want to give me a quick review, Joe, of what we've come through to this point as we come to a close.
Yeah, so we've covered a real lot. So
yeah,
Holy Spirit is a person, not just a power. Lately, we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, empowers us with gifts to bless others and extend God's kingdom. We talked about how the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. But today we're returning a little bit towards the already not yet part of things, where that the Spirit brings new life for eternity. The Spirit brings restoration, because oftentimes as we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't it's as if we talk about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives and all of that stuff. But then when it comes to eternity or heaven, we just stop talking about the Holy Spirit as if he's, as if he's done. But no, the Spirit brings new life. He is the Spirit of restoration. And that in that context of already not yet, it happened in that the Old Testament scriptures talked about how the Spirit was going to bring restoration. So that in the New Testament, it's like, oh, that restoration, that renewal is already taking place, even though it's not yet fully and finally here. But we get that from the Old Testament scriptures. And then that also propels us into, wait, the Spirit's not done. He starts that restoration and he continues it into the end times.
Yeah. As you're talking about this, I was thinking like, oh, so you mean the same one that started in the beginning in the Genesis is still going to be around in the end?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So even as you're saying, I think sometimes where we think about like he just comes during this time. That's all his involvement in things. But really, it's the restoration and giving life to that whole thing. He's a part of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. So exactly. He's eternal. And I think that's something to remind people of. And he's part of the eternal plan of God because he is God. And exactly. So he's the one that he hovered over the earth, the creation, the created order, right? And produced life then. He's the same one doing it now, and the same one's gonna do it in the end and sustaining life, right?
No, exactly, exactly. And that's where too. All of this goes together. Why? One of the reasons that this whole series on the Holy Spirit sort of really opens people's eyes and is so powerful is because it all goes together. You know, it's not just some minor little doctrine. No, the Holy Spirit's God. And so we talked about he's a person, not
yes.
just power. But with that, then we didn't really address it until now. It's just like you said. But if the Holy Spirit's God, then he's eternal. So he doesn't go. He doesn't go away. he didn't all of a sudden start existing. No, he's the eternal, the eternal God.
Yes. Yeah. So we're just talking about the entire plan. We were talking in small details. Now we're coming back. Like it's the bigger picture of his involvement in all things.
Correct.
It's important for us to see.
And that's why I wanted to end the series on the idea of, all right, we've talked all sorts about what the Holy Spirit does in our life and stuff, but all right, well, what does the Holy Spirit do in the end or in heaven? Like, and that it's, okay, that restoration that he starts now continues and reaches its completion in the heavenly areas, but it starts now again, already, not yet.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Where do we want to go now?
Let's look at the scriptures, the couple of Old Testament scriptures that really talk about, the Holy Spirit prophesied that the Holy Spirit's going to come and begin this restoration. And so let's start with Joel 2:28-32. This is the scripture that we kind of started out in, Pentecost. This is the scripture that Peter quotes on Pentecost.
Yeah, it reads here, Joel 2:28-31, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes.
Yeah. So in his sermon in Acts 2, Peter is saying that, well, no, this day has arrived. The day that Joel's talking about, it's arrived. It's being fulfilled. That Jesus is the Lord whom you should call upon to be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, but the thing is Joel was not alone. It's not like Peter just went to this obscure scripture. Many prophets went to that day, the day of the Lord, when God would pour out his presence through his spirit to bless and restore his people, but also restore all of creation. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to restore people. There was this idea that God's restoration is going to, yes, it's going to cover people, but it's also going to cover the whole world, so that when we look to the new heavens and the new earth, it's not this disembodied experience or whatever. No, it's a physical existence, a glorified, restored world, glorified, restored bodies, so that just as the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the wind hovered over the face of creation, well, that same Spirit would now be hovering over the face of creation, being poured out and restoring once again the people and the world. So just as another example of another scripture, you have a scripture from Isaiah, I think.
Yes. Isaiah 44, 2 through 4. And it reads, "Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams."
And see, what a picture there. Yeah. And here the spirit is compared to water. And we got to remember in that climate and culture, you know, it's a desert climate. And so what, like the idea of when it rains just a little bit and when it's rainy season, there's just all this life sprouting. So that's often why we see the Holy Spirit compared to water. Whereas here in the last days, what would God do? He would pour out his spirit so that people would enjoy God's his presence being transformed, but this role of the Spirit is bringing this peace and restoration to all creation, right? It's pretty clear here just from those scriptures.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God's the Spirit of life. And again, that image of water pouring out and bringing all of that life.
And just as you're, there's multiple Old Testament scriptures.
Yes.
Right. There's that's why the people of Israel were... before Jesus comes, we're really, they had this expectation of the coming Messiah and the Holy Spirit doing this work of new life, even like resurrection and, and you know, eternity. And so they had this expectation waiting or longing for and looking for that when God would finally send the Messiah to come, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So this touches back to, again, that already not yet aspect that we've been talking throughout this whole series. That so those are the expectations, right, that we just described. And so when Pentecost comes and the Spirit's poured out and they're speaking in tongues, but then, you know, there's that new that Jesus has been resurrected. So that's the resurrection is he's the first fruits of that. And it's already not yet. And that was the thing to understand is that already this restoration has begun in Jesus, but it's not yet fully and finally complete because the world, as we know, like the world hasn't been restored.
Yes.
That it's God is restoring individuals, is restoring people, pouring out his spirit and being present and living close to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. But all sin hasn't been eradicated. There's still injustice. We're still in the sinful flesh, even though we walk by the Spirit, as we talked about last time. So there's this already not yet aspect of this restoration, but the Spirit is the one who brings that restoration nonetheless. And so it's just... that the Spirit begins the restoration. He's a part of creation. He's going to be a part of recreation. And then he's also a part of everything in between.
Yes. I mean, thinking we're going to look at, you know, we've talked about before we came on, it was like John 3, 1 through 16, where Jesus talks with Nicodemus about, you know, new life, being born of the Spirit and born from above and born again, right of his name. But here's the Spirit, not just ushering life and restoration in the end. That's the already, that's the not yet that we're hoping for, that the Jewish people are hoping for. And Jesus shows up and he tells Nicodemus, who would have been one of those ones waiting, like, you know, where's the kingdom? Where's the fullness of what God promised? And Jesus lets them know it starts with you right here, right? Yes. Now, being born of the Spirit, right? That's that new birth that comes. That's the new life that comes for us.
Yes. And I think that John chapter 3, it's a good passage to look at. And one of the problems, though, with John 3 is we're so familiar with it that we automatically kind of see the things that we've been taught to see, like John 3:16 and born again and these types of words. But here, if we were to step back and read it as if we've never read it before, we would see that what is Jesus doing here? Well, he's pointing to the Spirit that brings eternal life.
Yes.
And really, that's what it's about. It's about saying, hey, Nicodemus, that restoration that you've been expecting, just as you mentioned, as a teacher of Israel, that's breaking in now. And again, it's already here. Yes, it's not yet fully here, but it's already here. So you need to be born again. But it's all about being born again, meaning born in the Spirit. So again, we sometimes need to read the scriptures over again.
Yes.
We're reading them anew, because when we do that with John 3, it's like, wait, Jesus, like the emphasis isn't necessarily on our belief. It's about the Spirit's work, which we then enter into by belief. But really the emphasis is on the Spirit, but we kind of lose that because we've been conditioned to, I don't know, read it in terms of 3:6, John 3:16, which is a great passage, one of my favorites.
Yes, yeah. going back to what we talked about a little bit ago about, you know, the Holy Spirit, he was there in the beginning, he's going to be there in the end, he doesn't disappear. And what was he doing in the very beginning? He was hovering over the earth, over what was not fully restored yet, what it was made life yet. There was chaos, right? Yeah. And the darkness and the light and all that's going on, and the Holy Spirit's there. He's the one that then brings restoration to that chaos. He was the one who brings order to it. And we're talking about Nicodemus. They're expecting, okay, God at some point is going to fix everything, and he's going to bring order, restoration, all things. And like Jesus saying, like, yes, that's going to happen. But until then, it's happening right now in you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit's around you right now. And he's wanting to bring order out of all the chaos in your life and all the things that seem to be out of sync and out of order. He's purposing to bring restoration into us individually. That won't be complete until we get to the end anyways, but until then, what's he doing? That's his work. He's constantly at work bringing restoration, not just it's not just individuals,
right?
Which his intent is to have a community of people.
Yes.
To restore what it means to be a people that's one, just like Jesus, we talked about last episode, Jesus praying, they be one just as we're one, me and you, you and me, us and them and each other, that restoration. He's trying to work that in us even right now, right? It's not just individual restoration, but people, his people being restored together.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And here in John 3, Jesus is inviting, though, Nicodemus to step into that restoration.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicodemus, he's an outsider looking in. He thinks he's an insider, but he's an outsider looking in because Jesus just, you know, he's like, oh, Jesus, you know, I know you're a teacher come from God. No one does these things unless God's with him. And Jesus says, hey, I tell you, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And it rocks his world. And he immediately, though, starts thinking, wait a minute, how can one be born when he's old? Can you enter a second time into your mother's womb? And that's when Jesus said, no, I'm telling you, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And then through that dialogue, it becomes clear when Jesus says born again, he's really meaning born from above, born from the Spirit. And yeah. that's happening now, Nicodemus. So, you know, believe, enter into that kingdom, because he's looking at it as kind of like a theological thing. Like, oh, yeah. This is a theological topic for us to discuss and us to understand. And Jesus, he gets very fleshy in it. And it's what I mean by that is like, well, no, you got to be born again. It's like, you got to actually engage in it. You got to actually do something to step into this kingdom. Yeah. It's not just something to look at. It's something to enter.
Yeah. It's not something to look at. It's not something like, well, that's cool. I got information now. Okay, I'm good to go, Jesus. I'm going to go on my way. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's about entering into a relationship. I think of this whole thing as this, like the Spirit of God being poured out. It wasn't just to be poured out. He's come to live in us.
Yes.
You know, like that's, and I don't know where I ever heard it. It's not something I made up, but I remember I always like the way it's worded. Jesus didn't come to get us into heaven. He came to get heaven in us.
Mm. Yeah.
Or the kingdom. He didn't come to get us into the kingdom, but he came to give his life so the kingdom can come and dwell in us.
Yes.
And we can experience what he meant for us to be, not just what we were. You know, so that the whole thing is something that is all about how we see it. And here it's like, and when we're called to, like you said, we can just sit back and observe it, or we can enter into it. We can sit back and observe some friends and just kind of be like, yeah, they're our friends, but really stay disconnected. Or we can enter into a friendship.
Yeah.
There's this give and take in life with each other that we're supposed to have in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this aspect of, yes, we have to enter into, take that step. That doesn't mean there isn't a type of mystery to it.
Yeah.
There's still, it's the Spirit who does the work. And that's why Jesus compares in that conversation, he says, you know, he compares the Spirit to the wind. And by the way, that's a play on words too, because the word for Spirit can also mean wind. He's like, you know, the Spirit's like the wind. It goes where it pleases. You don't see where it's gone or where it's going, but you know it's there. You see the effects of it, is basically what Jesus is saying. And so there is still a mystery to it. It is the Spirit. God is sovereign. The Spirit is God. And so this being born again thing, this the work of the Spirit, it is in God's control, not in ours. And yet there is still a part we play.
Yeah.
Where we do need to step in, where that's what Jesus is inviting Nicodemus to. But the fact that, yes, but the Spirit and his work and his restoration is bigger than just one person. And it's more like, all right, catch the wind. You know, the wind blows and if you want to catch the wind, you put up a sailboat, you know, a sail. You don't control the wind. You know, it's that idea where, yes, God does what he'll do, this mystery, but then there's also a calling to us to step in and believe, as Jesus is calling Nicodemus.
Yeah, yeah. So how do we recognize this Spirit's life of restoration in us, or even each other, or in the community? We can't see the Spirit doing it, but we see the life changed. And right. As we talked about last week, we're not just seeing like, oh, you don't do this, you don't do this, and you do this now. It's seen in the character quality, the Christ-likeness that we start to take on as individuals and even as a community. The character is really like when people think of the word eternal life, they think it's like, oh, we're just going to live forever. And they don't see anything about changed life, but it's not just eternal life is not just about living forever. It's the character and the quality of life that's in God and in Christ and the Holy Spirit, who then comes to live in us. And we start taking on that divine character. Not because we're doing it, not because we're trying to make expression of it. It's just a part of who we are. And the byproduct is naturally our life is completely different in our actions.
Yes.
And that's what he's come to do. So restoration, like you know, the prophecies were like, how do they know? How were they going to know when the end came? This and this happened. It's propping up all over the place.
Right.
Right. And so it's the same thing in us. It's like, how do we know the Holy Spirit's at work in us? It's popping up all over the place. So the character and the quality of the life of God himself in us as individuals and in the people of God and in the community of Christ. And then other people say, oh, God's in our midst. Even the world will see.
Right.
And so it's really his work. And I like how you put it, putting up a sail and just like, well, this is what God's doing in my heart right now. I can either like, well, I want to do this now. I don't want to work with him. Come work with me in this area of my life. And he's right. saying, no, this is what I'm doing over here. Got to put up the sail and just ride the sail of the wind wherever he's going and what he's doing in our life. And so it's a responsive thing to him. Like back, we were saying last week, walking by the Spirit, walking with him and step by step, trying to respond to what he's doing in our life.
Right. Right. And yeah, I think what you said about that you don't necessarily see the Spirit, like, oh, look at that. I can see the Spirit, the mist of the Spirit.
Yeah.
See the effects of the Spirit. And again, using this kind of imagery where in Israel, you didn't need to tell people, oh, it rained. It was obvious. Like all the, yeah. Everything just turned green. And that's the picture that it's given is like when God's restoration comes, you'll know it. And in this already not yet sense, well, when God's restoration comes to us, people should know it. The effects should be clear that we have different values. We live differently. It doesn't mean we won't mess up, but it means that there's an effect. And that's why it's called in the Nicodemus dialogue, born again. It's like, well, I've got a new life. It's yeah. obvious when a baby is born, right? There's a new life there. Same thing with us when the Spirit gives us new life. But I want us to make sure we don't miss out that it's that restoration starts already now in Nicodemus. Yes. We are invited to step into that, but it continues for eternity. So that restoration is already, but there's also a not yet part where the Spirit's still going to be at work. It's not like, oh, the Spirit's done. No, the same Spirit who gave us new life, who's restoring, will continue to restore us, the whole earth, until we become more and more like Jesus, more and more like God. Yeah. That we're God-like, but that we reflect his character qualities, that we're like.
Yeah. There's I just reminded of a scripture in 1 John chapter 3. And it's going to read it here. Let me get to it. It's verse 2. He said, beloved, when John's writing to the church here, he said, beloved, we are God's children now. Not we're going to be God's children. Mm-hmm. He's talking about believers, all the experience, the new birth. He says, now, but what we will be has not yet appeared.
Yes.
But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we'll see him as he is. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. Our growth group was talking about this. Someone brought this up. And as they were talking about it, I was saying, like, it's sort of like being a parent. Like we can talk about, we can read books about being a parent, and you have your first child's, about to be born. You can get all the head knowledge about it, but then all of a sudden the baby comes. You're like, oh, now I know what it means to be a parent.
Yes.
Well, same thing. We can read all about the scriptures and what the Holy Spirit's doing and the character quality, but there is coming a time that we're going to know what this really means. We can get to some understanding of it and the quality of life, and we see what God's doing. But to think like I know what it's going to be like. No, there is something that's coming, a full restoration. Mm. And that's the hope we have. That's so much more than we could even, it's going to blow us away. We think we can try to capture it in our mind now. And it really, I think when I read that, it's like, no, we sometimes we think, oh, this is what it's going to be like. And we're limiting our ability to imagine God's greatness. When we start to think like it's so much more than what we could even think.
Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit actually wants to, I think, is to restore even the our expectation of what he can do.
Right.
You know, we have this limit. We are like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit could do this, but we don't know. We're so limited, and we end up limiting him because of our limited understanding. And I think we have to actually get the point. It's like he's incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And even incomprehensible in what it means for full restoration. Even as we read these things, this stirs hope. We read these Old Testament scriptures. And when you say like, when the rain came, it was just popping up all over the place. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking like, I want to see that right now. Mm. I want to see those effects in the people I know that aren't Christians yet, that don't know Christ yet. I want to see that in people's lives that are Christians, that are struggling with things. I want to see that kind of life. And I want God, give me that expectation that you can do that right now. You can pour out your spirit in such a way. And we get so limited. We get locked into this materialistic world and our secularized thinking of things that we limit him. And we are, I think even as you're saying this, it's like, I think he wants to birth in us an expectation of a greater expectation of what he is capable of doing right now, not just in the end, right, but now. We need it like to be born again in that thinking. I don't know if that's making sense, but right now my heart is getting stirred up right now what we're talking about. And I hope other people are too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's almost like, so that we want the spirit to, like, the spirit is from above. He's like, he's of heaven, but he breathes heaven into us now.
Yeah. You yeah. know?
The end times, all that restoration, just what you read about in First John, he breathes that into now. And as much as he wants, so just like you said, that we have to have that end times expectation can come into our life now. Even yes, of course, it's not the full and final rest. There is some not yet.
Yes.
But we shouldn't limit how much already. you know, like you said, or naturalistic worldview or whatever.
Yeah. And we're actually coming to a close. I have to tell you, I'm getting wound up on this one. And my heart is really getting stirred as we talk about it. It's like, God, my expectation is so small.
Yeah.
I think I have a greater expectation than some other people. And like, as we're talking, I'm like I don't know as I should.
Yeah.
And I want more. And I pray others that are hearing us, that their hearts would be stirred in such a way that their expectation of what he has planned for the future would be stirred in our hearts to long for that, and would change how we live our life now, and actually change how we expect God to move right now when we're praying. It's just like he wants us to see things so differently, and just we've put such a lid on our ability to think who he is and how we see him. And that's something that needs to actually be born again. That's we've put a lid on us.
Yeah.
Done it ourselves.
And that's exactly what, I know we're almost out of time, but that's what was happening with Nicodemus, right?
Yes. Is
he had put a lid on it, and Jesus is like, no, the Spirit can breathe new life into you now. But that's also why it's important to understand the Spirit is the Spirit of the end times, because we expect that, in the end. Well, no, yeah. Jesus, but now, you know, it's already.
Yes, 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 it started already. It's, as we come to a close, we thank you for joining us during this series. Thank you, Joe, for taking the time over the last few months to go through this. I just want to pray for those that have spent the time, whether it's those in our own church, our home church, that have been listening to these and reviewing these, or others on the radio that have been listening to these. Our prayer is that that the Spirit of restoration, the Spirit of eternal life, the one that who breathed life initially at the creation of the created order, that same Spirit would breathe life in us in the chaos of our own personal life right now, that you, Spirit, would breathe fresh life in us. Even as you challenge Nicodemus to a whole new perspective of the kingdom, I pray you would challenge us to let go of our limited thought and thinking of who you are, so we could be just have our expectations grow. I just pray, God, you would expand that, our ability to see who you are, and change our expectations, not just for the future, but right now. And I pray it would change how we live our life. And I pray those that hear us, it would change them also. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as you want to hear any of these again, you can find them at letyourkingdomcome.com or sbcsouthhadley.com, either one of those. And it's SBC South Hadley. You can listen to the initial sermon series that we did these episodes on. And until next week, God bless.